When the president-elect is tweeting about canceling future federal contracts, you know we're in murky territory. Well, equally murky is the budget outlook. The long continuing resolution will eventually bump 2018 in the tokus. Then what? For some of what contractors might be thinking, Larry Allen, president of Allen Federal Business Partners. Larry, what's your take?
What we know is that Congress has passed a CR that will take us through to the end of April, and that will fund all federal agencies. That's the good news. The bad news about operating under a continuing resolution, aside from the well-established fact that you can't initiate any new spending projects if you're funded by a CR, is that you're also frozen at last year's spending levels, which means that there's no money for new projects and very little money for everything else. And that really requires agencies to prioritize. And if you're a government contractor, it requires you to prioritize as well. And a fundamental understanding of what the core must-do business is of your target agency is essential to being able to do any business between now and May. We're looking at a year that's going to be very different, I think, than a lot of forecasters had originally envisioned. FY17 was going to be a breakout year, particularly in terms of IT spending. We still hear a lot of talk about IT modernization, but Congress has other ideas, and it looks like we're going to be at least 7 months into the fiscal year before we can talk about new money for any agency that is not the VA.
And I guess given the way these CRs keep bumping into regular year budgets, even if in April or May or something there is a full year, so to speak, 2017 budget, and you've only got 5 or 6 months or less to actually execute on that budget, and then you're back into another CR, that means the money can be spent, but it's offset by months and months.
That's right. I mean, so the best case scenario we're looking at right now for FY17 is 5 months of what we would call ordinary time, where there's actual appropriations and new projects can get started, things of that nature. But that's a very limited amount of time to do anything. And it really leads to bad outcomes. It leads to cost overruns. Look, you know, the Department of Defense has been one of the loudest voices opposed to long-term CRs because it causes them to incur cost overruns on every project. And then Congress, of course, turns around and has them come up and explain in an oversight hearing why the costs were higher than originally estimated. Well, you know, one of the factors certainly is that they had to operate under the strictures that Congress had given them, which is the inability to spread spending out over a 12-month period and to initiate new projects, in this case for national security, when you feel that that's important to do. So it's not just frustrating for contractors, although it certainly is. It's very frustrating for government managers and people who want the government to move efficiently as possible. And you're right. Look, I'll go out on a limb right now, Tom, and say that FY18 is going to start under a continuing resolution as well, and we'll be right back to where we are now.
If you add up transition and the uncertainty over what sort of policies might come to the forefront under the Trump administration, plus the CR confusion, what in general are your contractor clients thinking? What's their big worry right now?
Well, I think you're right. There's a lot of uncertainty, and anytime there's uncertainty, there's worry. The other thing that contractors are feeling now, Tom, is frustration. Frustration because all of the time is being spent on transition, and that's appropriate, but that means that the people that contractors want to sit down and talk to, you know, program managers, senior agency careerists, they're tied up doing transition work, and that's just going to continue through the winter because we don't even have any political appointees on board yet, and we won't until after the inauguration. So contractors right now are a little bit frustrated because they're competing for time with a lot of internal agency functions, and that, unfortunately, is what you get when you have a presidential transition. From a broader strategic standpoint, you actually want there to be a smoother transition because that means you will have a better agency operation moving forward. But in the interim, with the CR impacting almost every government agency and the transition coming in, this is a frustrating time for government contractors. They're very much in hurry up and wait mode.
We're speaking with Larry Allen, president of Allen Federal Business Partners. And to switch gears here for a moment, you're writing this week about the no poaching among companies between primes and subs deals that companies establish between one another. And perhaps you're finding they may not be enforceable, and there are implications there.
Right. In most, if not all, prime subcontractor agreements, Tom, there are provisions in there that essentially prohibit or are intended to prohibit the poaching of each other's employees. So if I'm a prime contractor and I really like somebody who's working for my sub, I might want to hire her to work for my company, but there's a provision in my agreement that says I can't do that. Well, recently the Department of Justice came out and said that a lot of these provisions in prime sub-agreements aren't enforceable. Their reasoning is that these clauses might violate antitrust rules, so that companies really need to go back and evaluate the language in their prime sub-agreements to either take that language out or modify it in such a way that it might pass legal muster. DOJ didn't give us a lot of clues on that, but they did say that one exception could be if an agreement were part of a larger project, like a joint venture. So in that case, it's not necessarily a prime sub. It's two companies that are working together on the same project or projects for a longer-term basis. Those types of agreements, DOJ said, might be enforceable if there's a no-poaching clause in them. The exception to this, of course, is if the government agency that you're working for likes your employee and they'd like to make them a full-time Fed, well, there's really no prohibition on Feds poaching your talent, Tom. And that's something that does happen to contractors and can be very frustrating.
Well, also, if people voluntarily or on their own go from company to company, is it poaching or simply employee choice?
Well, that's a good point. If you are an employee, certainly you may be bound by non-compete clauses that you agreed to with your employer. So individual employees would have to look at that. But a lot of times those are written so broadly that those two would be subject to legal scrutiny. But if you want to initiate contact with another company, first, you got to check your non-compete, but once you do that, you should be good to go. The DOJ opinion really talked about when companies make the initial contact with a prospective employee that works for a prime or subcontractor that the other company is working with and what that means. So DOJ has said that, look, companies can't or have to be very careful about how they enforce their no poaching rules. But the employee, too, has to be careful about whatever non-competes they have and approach with caution.
Larry Allen is president of Allen Federal Business Partners. Thanks so much.
Tom, I appreciate it, and as always, and I wish your listeners happy selling.
He's also blogging about a CEO who is ready to quit federal contracting altogether. We'll have a link to that and to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.